Yezer, Perek Lamed Gimel. We're holding, I wouldn't say in the middle of the Perek, we're holding towards the beginning. 2 weeks ago, we started the Perek and we're talking about the idea of Tchias HaMesim and different stories that bring out the idea of Tchias HaMesim. Especially 2 weeks ago, we started over, we said that Tztaka is something that brings out Tchias HaMesim. In the Zchus of Tztaka, a person can be Zechet to Tchias HaMesim. And we said over a story about Eliyahu Navi and the woman from Tzarfas, that basically because she helped Eliyahu Navi and she gave him, you know, food and everything, even though she was very poor, so she was zecha that when her son died, Eliyahu Navi was able to revive him and bring him back to life. So the schus of her tztaka brought out Tchias HaMesim. Now we're going to move on to last week we digressed and spoke b'darach klalius about Tchias HaMesim. Now we're going to move on to another story that the Medrash is going to bring about Tchias HaMesim. And this is about Elisha HaNavi. We know that Elisha is known for being Shayatzak Mayim Al. The Elisha is known for what the pasuk calls pouring water in front of Eliyahu HaNavi. Elisha is known for being Eliyahu Navi's Talmud. He's Eliyahu Navi's big Talmud, Elisha. And one of the famous stories that we find about Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha is that at the time that Eliyahu HaNavi was on his way to be taken back to Shemayim, so he was going for a walk with Elisha, and tell us that they were walking and they were talking in Divrei Torah, and Eliyahu HaNavi says to Elisha, he turns to him and says, "I'll grant you one wish. What? Ask me for one thing, and I'll do it for you." So Elisha says to him, "The one thing I want to ask you is that I want to be double of you, Pishan. I want to." You were a Navi, I want to be double the Navi that you were. That's what Elisha asked. So Eliyahu Navi is like thinking to himself, like, how can I give him something that's more than I have? So Eliyahu Navi says, look, if you're Zeche to see me going up to Shemayim, that's a simon that Hashem is going to give you what you want. Taka, that's what happened. A fiery chariot came and took Eliyahu Navi up to Shemayim, and Elisha was Zeche to see that happen. So that's a simon that Elisha became the Talmud of Eliyahu, but more than a Talmud, he became double the Navi that Eliyahu Navi was. So we know, as I mentioned before, we brought a story of Eliyahu Navi reviving the child that died, bringing him back to life. So we're going to find that Elisha HaNavi not only brought back one person to life, but he brought back two people to life. So Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to see the first story of the first person that he brought back to life. Because he's double the Eliyahu HaNavi. He's the Hemshech, but he's double. He has double the Nisim that Eliyahu HaNavi had. So one Nukuda that's more negiah to what we spoke about last week, but it's also negiah to what we spoke about 2 weeks ago. We spoke about whether Eliyahu HaNavi was married. We said that he was hanging out with this Almana from Tzarfas. It sounded a little bit shady that he was with a Talmid Chacham living in the house of an Almana like that. How does that work? So one of the things we said was maybe he was. So Stam, I happened to speak to somebody about this issue that we spoke about 2 weeks ago. A friend of mine named Rabbi Arnie Wittenstein. So he wanted to say that even though normally Talmid Chacham is not allowed to live in the same chater as an Almana, but by Eliyahu HaNavi there was a special Hiras Shah that he should. Because Hashem told him, go to this lady in Tzarfas, and she's going to be Mechalek Eliyahu. So to her Rosh Hashanah, he should have to live there. But the other idea that we spoke about at that point was that maybe he was married and his wife was with him, even though the Pasuk doesn't mention that his wife was with him. So I found, Ziyad Ishmael, I found on this past Friday, there's a Sefer Emes Yaakov from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. So there's a new volume, Emes Yaakov Anach, which just came out like within the last year or so. So Emes Yaakov Anach, Melachim Aleph, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Beis. He brings down, he writes, I'm a supuk if Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha were married in these stories. You're going to see a similar story with Elisha. He writes, he's a supuk. He brings two things that might be potential rayas, and he says that they're not a raya. The first thing he says is that when Eliyahu HaNavi is told by Hashem to, you know, appoint Elisha as his successor as a Navi, so Elisha's like, well, I have to ask my parents. So like he goes back and like asks his parents for rishus to like go off with Eliyahu. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky reasons, well, why did he have to ask his wife? So that sounds like married, right? So he says, no, it's not a raya because there's a halacha in Ibn Ezer that a Talmid Chacham is allowed to leave his wife for a certain amount of time to go learn Torah. So it's not a raya that he wasn't married. So maybe he was married. He's not mechuyav to ask his wife. Okay, could be.
I happened to talk about this issue of talking to your wife today.
Yeah.
And someone mentioned there's only two places in all of Torah
where
a person consults his wife.
Yaakov Avinu.
No. Consult. Asks their advice. I don't know. Didn't.
Well, Yaakov Avinu with his wives he met them in the field when they were going to leave Lavan.
He told them things. He didn't.
He told them, or he asked them. Not sure.
So the two places that apparently that I was told were Haman
and Manoah,
Russia, and Eliezer ben Azariah in Brachos, when he was asked to become the Rosh Hashiva.
Yeah.
He went home to ask his wife. Apparently, those are the
interesting
two places that asked their wife for.
So I'll call upon him. So he wanted to bring a raya that maybe Elisha was not married, and he says no, it's not a raya. Then he wants to bring another raya. We mentioned last week that there's a truma sedeshin, a famous truma sedeshin that's brought down also in the Be'er Hakev and Evan Ezra Siman Yud Zayin. The truma sedeshin says that the wife of Eliyahu HaNavi, she's allowed to get married to somebody else because she's considered an almana. She's not considered married because Eliyahu HaNavi went to Shemayim. He's considered as if he's dead, right? So, doesn't that sound like Eliyahu HaNavi had a wife? Oh. So, I was going to thinking about this, but I didn't want to say it. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky doesn't say it exactly the way I was thinking. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, yeah. No, Ech Rabbi, the Truma Sedeshin wasn't asking this as a Lamaisa Shaila, who's saying, theoretically, if Eliyahu HaNavi had a wife, what would the din of his wife be? That's what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, yeah. I was thinking a little bit even stronger than that. The Shach in a few places in the Pirush on Shulchan Aruch, the Shach brings down that the Truma Sedeshin is a fake. Did you know this?
No.
The Truma Sedeshin,
really fake.
The questions that are brought down in the Truma Sedeshin are fake questions.
I thought it was true.
What's true?
I was told that all the questions in the
They never happened. Yeah, that's what I mean. The questions in the Shema Sedeshin, he thought of the questions, and then he just wanted to say the Shema Sedeshin the answer, and that's what he says, right? As opposed to conventional shaylos and tshuvas, the shaylos were real shaylos, and the tshuvas were written to answer up those shaylos. But the Shema Sedeshin, he wrote the questions, and then he wrote the answers. So I wanted to say he made up the question. It's like there's no like mysterious that Eliyahu HaNavi was married and he was bothered with that mysterious what it didn't be. No, he made it up, and then he wanted to bring out the point that he was trying to say. Uncle Ponim, that's that. But let's go back. We're up to the words of Bishub and Karcho Emer. Oh, we're about to start right now.
Sorry, I know traffic.
Traffic? You live across the street.
I have that excuse.
Okay. Well, on page Reish Ayin Ches in your edition, Rabbi Shulman Karcha, says, "V'al 2 weeks ago we mentioned the story of Eliyahu HaNavi being supported by the Isha of from Tzarfas." And she gave him stock or whatever, and because of that, she was zeicha to have tchias amesim. So Rabbi Shulman Karcha is saying that's a big story. They want to bring out the point that stock can bring you the tchias amesim. I'll tell you an even bigger raya from a different story of the story of Elisha. The Radha makes 2 points of it. The Radha says, first of all, Eliyahu HaNavi. The tztaka that she did by Eliyahu HaNavi was very big tztaka because first of all it was in a time of famine because there was no food around in the stores. You couldn't even get food, so the fact that she gave food to Eliyahu HaNavi, that's a huge thing that she did. So maybe only that type of tztaka could be zecha to tchias reisim. And second of all, she helped out Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi was there all by himself, so if you help out somebody who's all by himself, so then it's a big chiddush, so then that's zecha to tchias reisim. But over here, we're going to see by Elisha that the story of Elisha happened, it wasn't in a time of famine, and this lady is still going to be mefarnes Elisha, she's still going to give him food. And the story with Elisha, he He wasn't by himself. He had his attendant with him, Gehazi, which we're going to see exactly what happens to Gehazi also. But Gehazi was with Elisha, and still, we're going to say that it was such a big schus that she helped him out that she's going to be Zeichet the Tchias Amesim. So Rabbi Shimon Koch is saying that this story over here is going to be an even bigger chiddush. Come and see, may Elisha ben Shaphat, from the story of Elisha ben Shaphat, the Navi Elisha, the Elisha ben Shaphat, he was a big Navi, he was a big tzaddik, and no woman was able to look in his face without dying. What does that mean? Well, the Marzu says that means that he was so kadosh, he was so ruchnistic that he looked like a malach. If you look at a malach is like made out of fire. If you get a malach, you die. Pashtus. So the women, they felt like they would die if they looked straight at Elisha. Like they couldn't even look at him. That's how holy he was. And Elisha would go and travel from mountain to mountain and from cave to cave. The Radal points out that we find by Eliyahu HaNavi, it's explicit in the Psukim that Eliyahu HaNavi was traveling around from place to place or whatever. But we don't find by Elisha that he was going from mountain to mountain or cave to cave. So like, where do we see that by Elisha? So the Radal says, based on the axiom that I said before, that Elisha is the Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi. So whatever Eliyahu HaNavi did, you can assume that Elisha is continuing that same mahalach. So even though it doesn't say explicitly in the Psukim that Elisha was going from mountain to mountain and from har to har, from mountain to mountain and from ma'ara to ma'ara, to cave, you can assume that Elisha was doing the same thing because that's what his rabbi did as well. The Radal doesn't say exactly the way I just said it, but that's more or less what he says. Now, v'halach l'shunim, he went to this place called Shunim. V'kibalta isha g'dayla b'chavei g'dol, and a important woman, greeted him or accepted him with great honor, and she took him into her house. And we're going to see that, you know, she was machnas oirech with him. Now the Midrash says two interesting points about who this woman is. She's just known as the isha hashunamis, and the pesukim just calls her the Shunammite woman. Who was this Shunammite woman? So the Midrash over here is going to say two points about who she was. It'll bring us to some interesting discussions. Who was she? First of all, Achaisa shal Avishag HaShunamis. Says the Midrash, she was the sister of Avishag HaShunamis and Ishta shal Idoi HaNavi. And she was the wife of Idoi HaNavi.
Who was the wife of that?
This woman, this Isha Shunamis, that's going to be the host of Elisha HaNavi. So she was the sister of Avishag HaShunamis, because Shunamis, right? They're both called Shunamises. And she was the wife of Idai Anavi.
Where does it say "and"? It sounds like it says like she was the sister of Elisha HaShunamis. And Elisha HaShunamis was Ishto Shel Idai Anavi.
I hear why you would think that.
I don't think.
No, because it doesn't say Vav. It sounds like it's in one Hampshire.
Yeah.
But
Elisha HaShunamis, and who was that? Ishto
Shel Idai Anavi.
That's what it says.
You're asking a good question. The pashtus is mamash not like that. And I'll explain. First, we have to discuss who is Avishag HaShunamis, and then you'll see why it's like impossible to say that she was the wife of Idai Anavi.
I agree. That's how the Medrash writes it.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't say v'ishtei. Okay. I hear. Okay, who is Avishag HaShunamis? Does anyone know?
If not, why is this Avishag HaShunamis so important that it should come before the Idai HaNavi?
Well, Avishag HaShunamis lived before. Maybe.
The Medrash is saying she was the sister of Avishag HaShunamis, which we could infer that it's more important to say that than say that she was the wife of the Idai HaNavi.
Also because the Pasuk calls her Shunamis. So like the first one is more a drasha that's in line with the pasuk, and the second one is just like stamp of Kabbalah the Chazal are putting into here. Pashtus. Okay, so who is Avishag HaShunamis? Does anyone know who Avishag HaShunamis was? Okay, so there's a story in the beginning of Sefer Malachim, which is the Haftarah for Pashtus Vayichi, that David HaMelech is very old, and in his old age he's very cold, and the clothing is not able to warm him up. So it says that he searched out he searched out for all the young virgins or whatever to find a beautiful woman who's going to be able to lay down with him and warm him up. That's what it says in the Pesukim with that. And who did they find? The most beautiful woman in that time was Avishag HaShunamis, and she was the lady, she was the lady that lay down with him to warm him up. He never married her. It was just to keep him warm. What?
Something
like a companion. No, it wasn't even a plagish.
Not
even a plagish? It wasn't even a plagish. It was a companion. I'll tell you now why I think the story with Avishag HaShunamis was that after David HaMelech died, and before David HaMelech died,
it's just a warm him up. Why? It's not a topic, but it has to be beautiful.
What? I don't know. You have to know what it means to warm him up. I don't know. But yeah.
He's the king.
That's what one of the Farshim says. Because he's the king, so it's like just like the king, if he's going to drink from a cup, he's not going to drink from like one of these Israeli plastic cups. He's going to drink from a big fancy silver cup or gold cup. So if he's going to use something to keep him warm, he's not going to use like some dinky little space heater. He's going to use like a fancy something that's a nice thing to heat him up. But the Mufashim really say that.
Cup, the king should always see beautiful things. It should always be among the best. And this was not sexual. So, happy now, that's not. He was just there for.
Anyways, so the story goes basically that before David HaMelech died, so his son Adoniyahu made a revolt and tried to become king, and then after they solidified, no, they said, no, really, Shlomo is going to be the king after he dies, and they came out that was what's going to be. Shlomo is going to be king. Then David HaMelech dies, Shlomo becomes king, and then Adoniyahu says, he speaks to Shlomo HaMelech's mother, to Bathsheba, and he says, can you ask Shlomo if I can marry Avishag HaShunamis? So Shlomo HaMelech thinks that, what? You want to marry Avishag HaShunamis? That's considered a sign of rebellion, and he kills Adonijah. What does that mean? Because there's a rule that something that the king used, a commoner can't use that afterwards. So when Adonijah wanted to marry Avishag HaShunamis, there was, in a sense, he was trying to show that, no, Shlomo HaMelech, you're not the only king. I also have some sort of right to the kingdom. That's why I can marry her. And Shlomo HaMelech realized that, and that's why he killed him, because the guy is rebelling against the king, Mary Bamalchus. So it's impossible to. So, in light of that, I would say it's quite impossible to say that Avishag HaShunamis was the wife of Ido Yanavi. So it has to be that the Pshat and the Medrash is that this lady that we're talking about was the sister of Avishag HaShunamis and the wife of Ido Yanavi. Not that Avishag HaShunamis was the wife, the sister was the wife. Right, the same. The problem is like this. The problem is, and the Mufarshim speak about this. Avishag HaShunamis, when did this happen? In the time of David HaMelech, at the end of the days of David HaMelech. Yeah? Now, our story over here, Elisha HaNavi, when did this happen in relation to the story of David HaMelech? Many, many years afterwards. Be'erach 130 years after David HaMelech died was the story of Elisha HaNavi. The Marzu makes the cheshbon. He says you have 40 years of Shlomo HaMelech plus 22 of Yeravam from the first king of Yisrael, 24 of Baasa, 2 of Elah, 12 of Omri, 22 of Achav, 2 of Achaziah, 12 of Yehoram. The Berach comes out to over 130 years of that elapsed from when David HaMelech died until where we're holding over here this story of Elisha, which is happening in the lifetime of Yehoram. Yehoram, the son of Achav. So it's very difficult to say that this woman who is Machnes Areach, the one who's hosting Elisha HaNavi, is the sister of somebody who lived 130 years prior. So the Marzu says that maybe Achaisa is Lavdafka. It doesn't literally mean sister, it just means from her family. Some or her niece, Basa Chaisa, her niece, which is a little bit more, we can understand that, or from her family, something like that, he says Tzarchim. The Radal Atzim is not so bothered by this question. He just says, we're going to see like from the Hemshech of the story that she was Taka old. So he says, yeah, she was old. Yeah, she was 130 years old or something. He says that it could be that her father gave birth to her, and her father was much older, Avishag, who lived 130 years earlier, was like the younger sister, was the older sister, sorry, and this is like the younger sister. That's still a little, it's still shver, but it's like it's a little bit less shver. That's what the Radal, that's what the Radal suggests. Okay, now, so the other point. We said that she's the wife of Idai Hanavi. Does anyone know who Idai Hanavi is? We actually mentioned Idai Hanavi a few weeks ago. And we spoke about the split between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda. So Yeravam, who was the first king of Malchus Yisrael, so he made his own Mizbeach. Over there he made his own calves, one in Don and one in Basel. And he said the people should worship those calves instead of going to Yerushalayim. He had political reasons because he didn't want them to see the Melech sitting down in the Azara, etc. That's the story of Yeravam. Right. So it says over there the Pesukim that Hashem sent a Navi to go speak to Yeravam. The Navi Idai Hanavi. Idai Hanavi, actually his name's not really mentioned in the Pesukim, but Chazal tells us that it was Idai Hanavi. His name is mentioned elsewhere, but Idai Hanavi goes give Hashem gives him a mission, go to the city, you'll tell Yeravam off for what he's doing. Come back, don't eat anything, don't speak to anybody, just go do it and come back, whatever, right? Fine. And he goes, and this is the story that we mentioned, that Yeravam was at his Mizbeach, about to be makir of his karbanos, and this Navi comes in, and he starts talking to the Mizbeach, oh, Mizbeach, Mizbeach, in the future, what's going to happen on this Mizbeach is that the priests of Avodah Zarah are going to be burnt in this spot, at this Mizbeach, and then, we said it was like very dramatic. The Yeravam was like about to move his hand to say like get this guy away. His hand froze, etc. That's the story of Idai Hanavi. What I didn't mention was that on his way back, Idai Hanavi bumped into a false prophet, a Navi Sheker, and basically the Navi Sheker said that I had a Nevuah that said you should come and sit down and eat with me. And even though Hashem told Idai Hanavi not to eat with anybody, not to speak to anybody, whatever. So this false Navi tricked Idai. Idai sat down, he ate with the guy, whatever, and then he left, and a lion came and ate him. That's what it says in the Pesukim. Because he went against his Nevuah. Hashem told him, don't eat with anybody, and he went, he ate with him, so then the lion came and ate him. That was Idai Navi's punishment. Al-Khalim, that's who Idai Navi was. He was a great Navi in the time of Yavam Ben.
Was eaten by a lion.
Who was eaten by a lion in the end, yeah. So now, over here we're saying that this woman, the Isha HaShunamis, who accepted Elisha into her house, she was the wife of Idai Hanavi. The problem is like this, and the Radal points out this problem. The problem is that in the story of Idai Hanavi, he died. He died in the story, or let's say 90 years earlier. Right, because we made the cheshbon of 130 years, that was including the 4 years of Shlomo. So take out the 40 years of Shlomo, so you get 90 years to the beginning of the reign of Yeravam ben Nevat. 90 years previously, Idai Hanavi was killed in the story with the lion. So you're telling me she's the wife of Idai Hanavi? He died 90 years earlier. What would you say? So what would you say? The rest of the Radal says that rather what you have to say is that she was the wife of Idai Hanavi. Yes, he died, like we said in the Pesukim, but she married somebody else. And for some reason, the marriage was calling her the wife of Idai Hanavi. It's still shver. Because in the continuation of the story, we're going to see that she's married, her husband is old, whatever, old. But the implication of the marriage saying that she was the wife of Idai Hanavi would be that Idai Hanavi is the husband that we're talking about. And if you want to say that, no, she was the wife of Idai Hanavi who happened to die 90 years earlier and now she's married to somebody else, it's like, that's not Parshat Pshat what the Medrash is saying, Bukhal. So it's a Shtigl Doichak. So Radal brings, what?
So, trying to get the
Cheshbon. Yeah. Yeah.
It's around David Melech.
Yeah.
And Ravim, Ido was around the time of Yeravam, which is a few couple generations later.
Well, Avishag HaShunamis lived at the end of David Melech's reign, right?
He was youthful.
Okay. Yeravam ben Nevat was the king after Shlomo Melech. Yes. Shlomo Melech was king for 40 years.
Yes.
So this isn't so shvur because this is only 4 years later.
Okay.
But
then, and Ido was then.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Ido was then.
Right.
Okay.
So the Radal says another point. The Radal brings a different girsa. Not that it says the wife of Ido Yanavi, but the alternate girsa says that she was the mother of Ido Yanavi. That's the Radak, when the Radak in his Pirshan on Nach brings down this Pirkei de Eliezer, he says it was the wife of Ido Yanavi, but the mother of Ido Yanavi. That's what he's saying. Now, this woman, the Isha Shunamis, was the mother of Ido Yanavi. And the Marzu points out that the Yalkut Shemaini, when he brings down this Pirkei de Eliezer, also says that she was the mother of Ido Yanavi, not that she was the wife of Ido Yanavi. So you could say that, yeah, this lady, her son, Ido Yanavi, died 90 years earlier. Right? But then the Radal makes another point. He says that maybe it's a mistake, and instead of saying Idoi, it's supposed to say Odeid. There was a Navi named Odeid, who was brought down into Rayam and Bey's Perek Tesvav, who was a Navi at the time of Asa. Now Asa was the king before Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat was the king in the time of Elisha. So that's like already, you know, it's like a little bit like one generation, not so many years. So you could say that she was the mother of this Navi Odeid, or the wife of this Navi Odeid. I'm not sure exactly what you would say if you say this girsa. Why? The other point is like this. Now, obviously, if we're saying that she's the mother of the Navi Idai, yeah. So this kid that we're going to talk about that's going to die, and Elisha's going to bring him back to life, is obviously not Idai Navi, because Idai Navi died 9 years earlier, because he lived already in the time of Yerovam and Nevah. So it's obviously a different kid. Fine. Now, the Radal makes another point. The Radal brings from a Zayar in two places, the Zayar in the Hakhtama, and the Zohar in Parshas B'Shalach, the Zohar says a big chiddush. The Zohar says that this kid, the daughter of the son of the Shunamis, that dies, and Elisha is going to bring him back to life, so this kid is Chabakuk Hanavi. Chabakuk Hanavi. And I found, it happens to be that I heard this when I was a little kid. Like my father must have told this to me when I was a little kid. Because like when I was reading this, I'm like, oh, I thought the kid was like the son of Chabakuk. I thought this kid was Chabakuk. And I'm like, oh, the Zohar says it. I don't know where I knew this from, but the Zohar says it over here. And then, interestingly, I found that the Pirush Rekeach on Keheles, Per Gimel Pasuk Hey, as well as on the Haftarah to the second day of Shavuos, which is we read Chabakuk on the second day of Shavuos. So the Pirush Rekeach in both of those places says that this kid, the son of the Shunamis, is Chabakuk, like the Zohar. Which is a shtugel chiddush, because you don't usually find that the Rekech says the same thing as the Zohar. So this sort of like, this is one of the writings you could say is like that proves the veracity of the Zohar, because the Rekech is for the Zohar, from before the Zohar was printed, and he's saying a chiddush that also appears in the Zohar. Sure. So it tells you that the Zohar, that whatever the Kabbalah that the Zohar is saying is, was something that existed also in Ashkenaz, where they had that same Messiah. And they weren't like copying from the same person or whatever. They're independent messiahs. But Al Kapanim, the Radal says that if you learn that kid is Chabakuk, like the Zohar says, and then I'm saying that the Pirush Rekeach says, so he says that you have to say that argues on the Medrash that says that this lady was the mother of Ido Yanavi. That's what the Radal says. Now, I don't understand why the Radal has to say this. And then I found that the Seder Deris brings what I'm about to say, Lishem, the Sefer Zera Beirach, in Parshas Kedoshim, that you could say that she's the mother of Idoi, and Idoi died 90 years prior, and then now she's the mother of Chabakuk, and Chabakuk is going to be the kid that we're going to talk about, who's going to be born and then die, and Elisha's going to bring him back to life. Why is it a steer to say that she's the mother of Idoi and to say she's the mother of Chabakuk? It's not a steer. The Radal says it's a Machlokes Midrashim. This is Zera Berech that the Seder Darius brings down. Says, no, it's not a Machlekes Midrashim. First she was the mother of Idai, now she's the mother of Chabakuk. What's the steer? Okay. Now let's actually get to the story. V'kibaltoi b'chovei gadol. So this lady, the Isha Shunamis, whoever she was, she accepted Elisha into her house with great honor. Amra Isha Levaila. The woman said to her husband, Ish ha'ele kim hazeh kodeshu. This man of God is holy. Ein Isha yachadol estagda b'fanam shalei somos. He was able to look in his face without dying, because he's so holy that people couldn't look at him. So let's, Shinamah says the Pasuk, Nasad Elias Kir Ketana. Let's make for him an attic, a small attic. And every time he's passing through our city, through Shunem, so he can stay at our house as a guest. He'll live over there in that attic. So the Medrash says, Uvanu Veichinu Vizkinu. They built it, they prepared it, and they set it up. So with these three Lashonos, they built it, prepared it, and they set it up. So the Radal says, they built it means they built that attic. They prepared it means they prepared for him, you know, the necessities that he needs, a bed, a table, a chair. And his skin, they set it up, they set up a menorah, they set up a lamp for him to have light in this attic. The Marzul says it slightly differently. He says that Hichinu is going on the bed, the chair, the table, and the lamp. And Hiskino just means that they set up everything in its place. More or less the same idea. La'achar yomim haya over el Shunem. After some time, he passed through Shunem. Elisha Navi passed through the city of Shunem. But Yasser el Aliyah. And he removed himself and he went to that attic. And that's where he stayed. Shunem writes on the Pasuk, Vayi hayoyim, it wasn't that day. But Avar Shaman, he went there. Bakar Lishanamis, he called this Isha Shanamis, called the lady. Shanamites is an apostle, Vayikrala Batamar Pasach. He called her and she stood at the entrance. He called her, he wanted to speak to her and she stood at the entrance. Now the question is, if he called her, so he's saying, like, you come over here, I want to speak to you. So why is she like standing by the entrance? She's like, come to him. She called her over. Vlama Amda Mefesach, why is she standing at the entrance? She should go over to him. He called her over. So the Medrash again, because she can't look in his face because he was so holy that she felt like if she would look at his face, she would die. Fine. What did Elisha have such an important message to say to her? Omala, he said to her, "Lamayid hazeh ka'is chaya at chavek es bein." At this time, ka'is chaya means like this time next year. It's an expression, at chavek es bein. You will be hugging a child. Amrulai, so she said to him, Adaydiza King Me'oid. My master, meaning my husband, is very old. And I'm postmenopausal. I don't have my period anymore. This matter is impossible to happen that I'm going to have a kid next year. It's impossible for this thing to be. Why are you saying that I'm going to have a son next year? I'm too old. My husband's old. I'm old. No, my master, man of God, don't lie to your servant. How can such a thing be? Don't lie to me. If you're saying that I'm going to be hugging a child next day, it better be true. Don't play around with me. Which, Agav, it sounds, it's mashma shtigl from here that she didn't have kids before. No? Not mashma, not necessarily.
Well,
I
would say she wouldn't be the mother of Ido.
Right.
And first of all, I thought that she was the mother of Ido. That was a long time ago.
Right, that could be.
She'd be too old, what she's saying now.
Yeah, it's true.
That would be a problem.
I don't know, I was just thinking that, like, it sounds. I don't know why, it feels like maybe she didn't have kids before for some reason. I'm not sure why. We'll see. Okay. So the Medrash is going to say that the Pasuk says that afterwards she got pregnant, she had a kid. But the Radal explains that the Medrash is bothered by that we don't find in the Pesukim that it says that Elisha davened for her that she should have a kid. It's like, why did she have the kid? Like, where did it come from that she should have a kid? So Bizachari says, Ritzen Yerev Yaseh. Hashem. We're talking about Hashem. Ritzen Yireh of Yasa. Hashem does Ritzen Yireh of the will of those who fear Him. Asa Kodesh Baruch Hu Ritzen Yishol Navi Baharav V'yalda. Hashem did the will of the prophet, and she became pregnant, and she gave birth. Right? There's this concept that we have Tzadik Gezer Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim. If a Tzadik decrees something, he says something's going to happen, so Kodesh Baruch Hu, because the tzaddik follows what Hashem says, so Hashem is going to follow what the tzaddik says, so Hashem is going to do what the tzaddik wants. So Elisha, even though it doesn't say Elisha davened for this to happen, but Elisha, you know, felt such gratitude for the Isha Shunamis, and he wanted her to have a kid, so Hashem made it that she had a kid, just because the Novi wanted it to happen. Tzaddik Gezer Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaim. So something that the Chassidim say, this idea, Tzaddik Gezer Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaim. By literatures, they say the opposite. The Kodesh Baruch Hu goes over Tzadik Mekayim. But the Godel Hanar, the child grew up. V'yatzal Fugas Nefesh, V'yatzal Bekeser. And he went out, he was growing up. I believe someone said that he's like maybe 4 or 5 years old. I don't remember exactly the cheshbon. But he went out, Lefugas Nefesh, you know, for a nice breeze, to for a stroll. Lewis Bukhachim, to watch the harvest. It was in the middle of the summer. He went to watch the harvest. And an accident happened to him. Shinema says in the Pasuk, Vayete el Oviv el Kachim, it says he went out to his father, to the harvesters, Vayamais, and he died. That doesn't say what happened over here. Why did he die? So the Radha brings the Yerushalmi Mitzachas Yavamais, Perek Tezvav. Yerushalmi says that it was the middle of the summer, and it was really hot, and he apparently got some sort of heat stroke. And that's what it says in the Pasuk, that he said, Reishi, Reishi, before he died. And Reishi, something happened to his head, that he was too hot for him, or whatever, and he ended up dying, the kid. But, so the kid dies. V'holcha ha'isha l'har ha'karmel. The woman went to Har Carmel, Mount Carmel, to go find Elisha, to go complain to Elisha. And she fell on her face on the ground in front of Elisha. Amrulai, she hints to what happened. She said to him, Halavai shahaisali kli rekam. Halavai, if only I would have an empty vessel. Elishin ismala v'nishbach. Rather, what happened instead of me having an empty vessel, it was full and it was poured out. Meaning, she's saying like, I would have been better off if you didn't give me this son. Right? Halavai would have been empty without this son. And now what happened? You gave me this son, you filled up my vessel, and it was poured out. You gave me this son and he died. Right? And now I'm worse off. I would have been better off if you didn't give me this son. Omar Anavi. So Elisha said to her, "Called over Shaklesh Boichol Aisab Hayamagidli. Everything that Hashem does, or Hayamagidli, He would tell me Chutz Vizoy, except for this. Hashem never told me that this was going to happen. So I guess she's like complaining to him, like, you know, when you told me I'm going to have a son, so I assumed, yeah, I'm really going to have a son. And now the son dies, it's like, so like you lied to me or something. So he said, no, don't have time for me. Usually Hashem tells him what's going to be in the future." In this instance, Hashem did tell you what's going to be a future. Shidama, it says in the Pasuk, and the Midrash doesn't bring the whole Pasuk, but I'll read you the whole Pasuk. The Pasuk says, you know, the Midrash says, Vatave Elisha Elikim, she went to the man of God, Vayiga Shekechazi Lahadfa, Gechazi came to push her away, etc., etc., etc. Vayomer Isha Elikim, Harpela, and the man of God said, Harpela, leave her loose. Kinafsha Marala, because her soul is bitter to her. Vasham Heli Mimeni, Hashem hid it from me, Vlehigidli, and Hashem didn't tell me. So that's the puzzle that Elisha is saying, Hashem didn't tell me that this is what was gonna happen. But so the puzzle said that the actual lashon of the puzzle is Batavai El Isha Alikim Elahar, she went to the man of Hashem, of God, to the mountain, to Har Carmel, Batchazik Baraglov, and she grabbed onto his feet. That's Lashon the Pasuk. She grabbed onto his feet. I mean, she came over and she like grabbed onto his feet and like started begging him. I was just thinking earlier, how many times do we find in Tanakh a woman begging a man to do something and she goes to his feet to beg him? So it says in Megillas Esther that we just read a few days ago, "Vatove Esther l'fnei Melach, but tipol l'fnei Raglov." She fell in front of his feet when she was gonna beg him, right? And the other pasuk, and then we have this pasuk, and my wife Tanya, maybe also like by Rus and Boaz, she uncovered his feet in the middle of the night and asked him to marry her. I wonder if there's more instances of like going to the man's feet to ask him to do something. Okoponim. So she goes to Elisha's feet, right, and she's begging him. And what does the pasuk say? Vayigash Gehazi lahadfa. Gehazi came to lahadfa, to push her away. And Vayomer Isha lekim, and Elisha said back. Elisha said to Gehazi, no, harpela, let her loose. Don't grab her away. Don't loosen your grip on her. Whatever. Because she's nafsha marala, because her soul is bitter, and Hashem didn't tell me that this was going to happen, so she's upset. But like, don't like push her away. That's what Elisha Navi said back to Gehazi. So now the Medrash is going to darshan what happened over here with Elisha and Gehazi. Achza b'hoi. Okay, so it says Vayigash Gehazi lahadfa. Gehazi approached to push her away. What does it mean lahadfa? Achza behind Yafya. We're dashing the word hadfa, which literally means to push her away. We're dashing it to mean Achza, he held her behind Yafya. Like, it's hadfa is like Hayd Yafya. It's like a contraction of those two words, Hayd Yafya. What does Hayd Yafya mean? It means the glory of her beauty. He grabbed her at the glory of her beauty. What does that mean? It says the Medrash. Malamed Shunasan Yodai Agabe Dadeha. Gehazi put his hand upon her breast. That's what Gehazi did. What?
Also, Rashi explains it like that.
Oh.
In another,
also, Rashi explains it like that. Yeah. Which Rashi?
In
Brachos.
Brachos is an apostle. When it brings the apostle in Brachos, it brings
that. Rashi Sefer Malachim doesn't say. Rashi Sefer Malachim doesn't say. Now, the Gemara in Brachos, what's that like this? The Gemara in Brachos says.
Maybe Rashi in Gemara, I don't remember.
The Gemara says it.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Okay.
The Gemara in Brachos says that, what does it mean, Lahadfa? The Gemara says, Hoid Yafya, the glory of her beauty. The Gemara doesn't explain what that means. Rashi comes along, and Rashi says that it's talking about that he grabbed her on her breasts.
Bit adeha. So he's learning from here.
Yeah. So Rashi's source of Chodesh is Pirkei Avos. Interestingly, Rav Nissim Goyen, his Pirush on Brachos, says between her breasts, not on her breasts, like Rashi says, and
so
sounds like over here.
Push her. It's like when you push someone, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah, but no, but it sounds like Gehazi was. It's mutter to say something bad about Gehazi because Gehazi was Russian. So it sounds like Gehazi was pushing her away, but he was also trying to, like, you know, hop around, grabbing a feel or something like that.
What was he doing there?
Who, Gehazi? That's a separate issue. What was Gehazi doing over there? But we'll see if Gehazi messes up again in a few minutes, but we'll get to another thing that Gehazi messes up about. But Rashi says that it was on her breasts. Rav Nissim Goyen says it was between her breasts.
Was that
Rav Nissim Goyen in his Pirush on Brachos. Now, I found an interesting shtuk. Like, I happened to be like looking up something else that I came across this. The Ben Ish Chai has a sefer on Mesachos, on Garata and Gemara called Ben Yahu, and there's another sefer called Ben Yahu. Ben Yahu and Ben Yahyada. So in the same of Ben Yahu on Amasachas Brachas, so the Gemara says Hoid Yafya, the glory of her beauty. Right? So the Ben Yishchai in Ben Yahu says that the Marsha explains that Hoid Yafya means her breasts. It says, and I want to argue, and I want to say that Hoid Yafya means either her eyes or her forehead. That's what the Ben Yishchai says. Now, my problem is that it's not a Marsha. Marsha didn't say it. It's a Pirkei Avos Eliezer. It's a Rashi. Why is he saying it's a Marsha? So this is what I came up with. I think the pshat is like this. If you look in the Ein Yaakov, so the Ein Yaakov has, you know, it has Rashi and has Marsha in it, etc. Now, the Ein Yaakov on this Gemara in Brachas Taf Yudam Beis, so the Ein Yaakov, this Rashi that I mentioned to you is missing. That Rashi is not printed in the Ein Yaakov. And the Marsha doesn't, the Marsha is basically quoting Rashi, but the Marsha says the same thing as Rashi. Well, the Marsha is masked a little bit more. He says that Harfa is like the Nairikun for the words Hayriyafya, and it means her breasts. And he's referring to Rashi. But I guess the Ben Ishchai didn't look at the Gemara. The Ben Ishchai was looking at the Ein Yaakov. And in the Ein Yaakov, there was no such Rashi. And it was the Marsha. It was the Marsha. So he brings out the Marsha and he argues with the Marsha. But like we have it as a Rashi. So it's like, it's funny that he says that. But the Ben Ishchai wants to say that Hayd Yafya, the glory of her beauty, is talking about her forehead or her eyes. I don't remember exactly what his rayas were. I think one of the rayas is the Zagamah that says that if a woman has beautiful eyes, you don't have to check the rest of her body. You can know that she's beautiful. If she doesn't have beautiful eyes, then you have to check the rest of her body. I think there's a Gemara, a Medrash that says something like that. Forehead, I don't remember why forehead. Okay, that's the Ben Ishchai. Better. So what?
Is that a large forehead? Is that a person that's intelligent? Whatever.
And that's what they say, yeah.
Is that a chod is? Chod in the man, maybe chod in like where the crown sits.
You have to ask Rabbi Bates. He's the Kabbalist. I'm not the Kabbalist over here. Uncle part of. Vayomer Ish Elikim, the man of God said, Harpela. I'm missing the word, the translation of the word Harpela. Rafa means like weak. So like Harpela means like let her loose. I don't mean let her. I'm missing, like loosen your grip on her. There's a word that I'm looking for. I just can't. It's on the tip of my tongue. And, I don't know. What? Yeah, leave her alone. Okay, fine. So, what does the pasuk say? So she tells him that her son died, etc. So the pasuk says, pasuk. Vatimer, this is Malachim Beis Perdalet. Vatimer, Hashalti Vein Meis Adoni Halayu Mati LeSashla Isi. She said to him, did I ask you for a son? You know, I said, don't mess with me. Don't make me go crazy. And you gave me a son, anyways. I didn't ask you for it, and now the son dies. You know, I'm worse off. Like, similar to what the Medrash was saying before. So what does Elisha say? Elisha says to Gehazi, Chagor Masnecha, gird your loins, meaning put on your belt. V'kach mishanti v'yodcha, and take my walking stick in your hand. And I found in the Tesefta de Targum, which is one of the Mefarshim on Navi, so Tesefta de Targum says that this stick that Elisha had, this walking stick, had the Shem Hashem inscribed on it. So he gives his walking stick to Gehazi, and he says, take my walking stick, v'leich, and go. Kisim se'ish, le'sevarchenu, if you bump into a man, don't greet him, v'chivoyachach le'ish, le'sa'anenu, and when somebody greets you, don't answer back, just go straight, v'santa mish'anti al'pnei ha'nar, and you'll take my walking stick, and you'll put it on the face of this kid, and the implication is, he'll come back to life. Right? And the Pesukim say that Gehazi went, and he did this, and and he put the stick on the kid's head, face, there's no voice and nothing crying out. And Gehazi went back to his rabbi, to Elisha, and he said, oh, the kid didn't wake up, it didn't work. That's what happens here in this story. Right? Elisha sends Gehazi to go revive the kid with his magical stick, right? And it doesn't work. But
it didn't work. Or Gehazi said it didn't work.
No, it didn't work. We're gonna see what's gonna happen is that Elisha is gonna say, oh, I'm gonna have to do it myself. And Elisha himself went and revived the kid. But first he sent Gehazi to go do it, and Gehazi did it and it didn't work. Now the bench is gonna discuss why didn't it work. And we'll see there's a few different versions about exactly why it didn't work also. But Lokach Es Hamishenes Shibiyadai Unisonal Gehazi. Elisha took his walking stick that was in his hand and he gave it to Gehazi. Oba Loi, he said to Gehazi, Al tadabir mifiqo kol dovar bu'uma. Don't say anything with your mouth. Ach ata hoylech v'neisen es b'sheras apnei anor v'yichya. Until you go and you take this stick and you put it on the face of the kid and he comes back to life. Don't speak to anybody. Even though the Radha says, even though the lashon of the pasuk is, don't greet anybody, and if anybody greets you, don't greet him back. Which sounds like, oh, the only problem is greeting, but I could like talk to other people or whatever. So the Radha says, no, the point is that even greeting people, even answering back a greeting, that you shouldn't do. But for sure, you shouldn't speak to anybody, don't talk to anybody. That's what the Radha says. He says, like, we say in Bracha, so like, if somebody greets you in the middle of Krishma, you're allowed to answer back. So here Elisha is saying that over here, don't even answer back. It's mamish, don't speak a word of anything to anybody. Until you go and revive the kid and bring the kid back to life. It was like a joke in his eyes, and Gehazi took it not didn't take it seriously. And every person that he bumped into, he would tell every person that he bumped into on the road, says, with this stick, you believe that this stick is going to bring the kid back to life? Therefore, it didn't work. Meaning, Elisha warned him, don't speak to anybody. Don't even answer back if anyone greets you. And not only did he not follow that, he even like did negative. He like he took it as a joke, and each guy he met on the street was like, hey Angel, look at this stick. My Rebbe said that this is going to bring the kid back to life. Why, do you believe that? He's like making a joke out of it. So therefore, it didn't work. What's the idea over here? Why shouldn't he talk? Like, what's the... Fine, to make a joke out of it, fine. I understand why you shouldn't make a joke out of it. But why shouldn't he talk even? So the Radha explains that the idea is that so there won't be like a hefsek or a hesek hadas in between Elisha giving over the stick and Gehazi reviving the kid. Because it's really like, as if like, Elisha has the ability to revive the kid, and Gehazi obviously doesn't because he's not really holding there yet. He could be, but he's not holding there. He's only a student of Elisha, and if he works on himself, he could get to that point. But he wasn't holding there at that point. So it's sort of like Elisha sending Gehazi as a shliach. Instead of me doing it, you're going to do it for me. As if you...
That's very interesting. Like, a sef das is what it happens when one person is saying a bracha, whatever mitzvah is, performing, and it interrupts with some talk and some saying something. So Elisha was the one who was, you know, supposed to be quiet all this time. So
no, because the
stick wouldn't say anything. The stick was the
right.
Was the clee.
But the guy who's going to be using the stick instead of Elisha, so he has to be like coming from like Elisha giving him the stick. The way you would look at it is like, instead of me going and putting the stick on the kid, so I'm giving it over to you to put on the kid. And when you put it on the kid, it's as if I put it on the kid. But if you go and you do something else in between, so then it's not like I put it on the kid, it's like you put it on the kid because you interrupted between me giving it to you and you doing it. I think that's the Havana of the Radal. And then I found also one of Rishonim said this, Marie Kara, who was a contemporary of Rashi. They say he was a student of Rashi, maybe not, maybe yeah, but he was definitely lived at the same time as Rashi. Marie Kara, or Kara, or whatever, in Melachim Bey's Perek Dalet Pasuk Chav Tes. They don't have it in this.
Art school but brings it, sometimes they bring, so sometimes Rashi brings his commentary in his commentary. Sometimes
but
Rashi,
opposite.
Sometimes Rashi is, quote, is he had Caro read his thing and he made some notes.
Ah, that's Rashi. Look, because I think they say that Caro quotes Rashi, maybe? I don't remember. Akhobar, the Marie Caro also says this pshat, that he didn't want there to be a hefsek in between, or a hefsek hadas. Rashi takes a slightly different approach.
But hefsek from what?
What?
From what?
From Elisha passing over
the passing over is the beginning.
Yeah, that's the beginning. Because Elisha is the one. Yeah, because Elisha is the one who's reviving it, okay. Not Gehazi. Okay. Gehazi is just like the person that happens to be bringing the stick there. Oh, Rashi takes a slightly different approach. Rashi in the Sefer Melachim, Rashi says that, What Elisha was telling him was that if you meet anyone in the road and anyone asks you like where you're going, what are you doing, whatever, don't go and tell them what you're doing. Because It's not the covet of the nace that everyone's going to know that this is the nace that's happening, and it's not the covet that such a thing should happen. Now that's what Rashi says. It's just interesting, Rashi, because the Rashi says that Kechazi didn't listen, and wherever he went, he was telling people, you know, I'm taking this stick to go revive the dead kid. Not necessarily that it was a joke, that he was like making a joke, like, oh, could this stick revive, like it says a pig in the blizzard. Not necessarily negative, but still going against what his Rebbe told him, don't tell anybody about it, and he's going and telling everybody about it. That's what Rashi says. It's still interesting, because usually we say that you want to be Mepharsim and Nes. You want to the whole world about the Nes, and like, and bring out the point that like Hashem can...
After it happens.
Only after it happens?
Maybe only after it happens. But look how powerful this stick is. Who are you? I'm the helper of the
Elisha
Navi. Of Elisha Navi. Oh, you also have powers. If Elisha Navi, after it happens, like, because Elisha Navi sent the stick, and whatever the helper did it.
I don't know.
It's like kind of bragging in the middle of the street, saying, "Look, I can do it." Like, do you believe can people do it?
But we also find the opposite. Like, when a Navi says that a nace is going to happen as a nevuah, it's like it's looked at as a bigger nace, because there was a nevuah that said before the nace was going to happen that it was going to happen, and it happened. Oh, that's like a hush of a nace. Okay, here it's not a Navi saying it; it's just like some kid saying that. I don't know. I'm a little bit bothered by the Rashi.
And we're learning something different here about, missing and speaking and words and...
The Radak, when the Radak brings this down, so the Radak says that Stam, he didn't want Gehazi to take his time on the road. So he said, don't speak to anybody, because he didn't want it to take its time. And it says, so that's not necessarily what he did wrong. What he did wrong was, like what the manager over here says, that he took it as a joke and started saying to people, like, oh, you think this is going to really revive a kid or whatever. That's what the Radak says. One more pshat. One second. This is a gishmak one. This is the Ashkenazi Rishonim, Paneach Raza, and the Imre Noyam, early Ashkenazi Sfarim, from the Baal Yatesis, whatever. So in Parshas Balak, they bring down, they talk about this story. In Bamidbar, Perchav Beis, Pasuk Chav Tes, and they say that what happened was that first Gehazi took the stick. Why didn't it work? Why couldn't Gehazi revive the kid? Because he took his stick. As he was on the way, he saw a dead dog on the street. And he took the stick, and he used the magic wand, right? He took the magic wand, and he revived this dead dog, and the dog came back to life, right? So he used it up. Now when he went to the kid, it didn't work anymore. Because he used up the powers that Elisha gave over to the stick.
Where did you
see
it?
Huh?
Where's
what?
Where's the proof of the Radak to say that?
Not Radak. This is the Paneach Raza and the Imre Noyam.
How do they know that?
There's some sort of Kabbalah that's what happened. And the Tosefta of the Targum also says a similar thing. That not that it was a dog, but it was a lion on the street that he found. A dead lion, and he revived the lion. And he used up the kaychas of the stick, and that's why it didn't revive the kid.
Too bad that lion didn't
aim. Yeah. Look, if we want, we could speak about Gehazi. Gehazi is a very tragic figure. That he ends up losing his chelak in Elam Haba. He was originally talking about Elisha, and Elisha was sort of trying to be makar of him and keep giving him a chance. And he kept messing up here. He messed up twice, right? And at the end, he takes kickbacks from Naaman, the general, and then Elisha kicks it off, gives him saras, and sends him away. That's the story of Gehazi.
Is there a question as to why Elisha sent the shleach?
Instead of him going himself,
I
don't know, but I think from like what I understand of how to understand this psukim, it would be that Elisha is trying to give Gehazi a chance to do something good.
So he would just take the stick and put it.
Right, it's like simple. It's like a simple thing.
Do it,
it's like
talk,
right, and then like he messes it up. Okay. So now, it didn't work. Elisha sent Gehazi to revive the kid, it didn't work. Achshah halach baraglav, until Elisha himself went on his own feet, v'nasan panav al panav, and he put his face over the kid's face, v'enav al enav, and his eyes over the kid's eyes, And the Zal changes the gear, so he takes out in. He takes out. He takes out Einov al Einov and sends it to Kapov al Kapov, his hands over his hands, to make it congruent with the words of the pasuk. V'hischa mispalel, and Elisha began to pray, and he said, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Kashem shasisa nisim alidei Eliyahu Rabbi, just like you performed miracles through my master Eliyahu, v'hichya esameis, and you revived the dead, you brought back to life the dead, kach asei imi v'hachyei hanar hazeh. So too, you please Hashem, you should make the same type of miracle with me, and bring back to life this kid, v'natar loy, and Hashem listened to him, shenem atzit pasuk v'yizoyer hanar ad sheva pa'amim, the kid sneezed 7 times, and he came back to life. So Elisha davened for the kid to come back to life, and the kid came back to life, and that's more or less the end of the story of it. The shaila is, why did Elisha have to mention Eliyahu Hanavi? So we said earlier at the beginning of this year, we said that Elisha is the person who's continuing on the path of Eliyahu Hanavi. We said that Elisha was going to be double Eliyahu, and all the nisim that Eliyahu Hanavi was able to perform, Elisha is going to be doing double of that. So he dafka had to mention Eliyahu Hanavi, like to remind Hashem or to be ma'ir, that is chus, in order to bring back the kid. The Radal says a slightly different shot. The Radal says that being machayim meisim, bringing back a person who's dead to life, is a huge chiddush, something that's never been done before in the history of the world, except through Eliyahu Hanavi. So if you're going to try to attach yourself to somebody in order to be ma'ir the chus to bring out tchias meisim, Elisha is trying to attach himself to Eliyahu Hanavi and say, like, I'm the student of Eliyahu Hanavi, and just like you did it for him, you should do it for me. And that's why Zafka mentioned Eliyahu Hanavi.
It's very interesting also that the two people that were revived so far,
yeah,
one by Eliyahu was Yonah,
yeah,
and one by Elisha was Habakkuk,
yeah,
perhaps. They're both Navi,
they both became Nevi'im. Yeah, that's them, it's Asnam. I mean, we're going to see later on, other people came back to life that weren't necessarily Nevi'im, but from what we've seen so far, Eliyahu Hanavi brought back to life Yonah, who was a Navi, and Elisha's bringing back to life what we're saying is Pashas Habakkuk Hanavi. Or maybe Oidei Hanavi, if you want to let it happen. So just to finish it off, so the point is that Rabbi Shimon Koch is saying that you brought me a story of Eliyahu Hanavi bringing somebody back to life, and this in the schus of the lady that gave him stachla that was being mefarnes him. I'm telling you an even a better story, the story of Elisha, where it wasn't in the time of a famine, and he wasn't alone, he had his attendant Gehazi with him, and still the lady that was being mefarnes him and supporting him, taking him to his home, she still had the special schus of Staka, and because of that she was able that when Elisha davened, Hashem listened to the prayer, and her kid was able to come back to life. Yeah, what are you saying?
Is it a riot that it was Habakkuk because she was told Ke is chayat chuveket ven? Chuveket being dome le Habakkuk.
Yes.
Chet and
hay, right.
Like
when I said before that the Rikeach in his Pirush on Keheles says that this kid is Chavakuk, so that shtickle of the Rikeach is in Keheles on the words Eis Lachboik. There's a time to hug, and on that the Rikeach says a whole bunch of things about hugging, and he says this post where it says Al Chivekes Bein is talking about Chavakuk, which is also a lashon neifel a lashon. It's like a similar Jewish like that. But you're right. I didn't. I don't know why. For some reason, I didn't mention that. That's what the Rikeach says. But that's the word of the Rikeach. Eis Lachboik. Okay. Shkar for coming. Have a good vacher.